Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show.
All right, it's a Friday night doubleheader on NBC Sports Chicago. Everything's all better in Cubland. The offense returns, and John Lester is even picking off runners. Tonight, it's game two in Milwaukee. We'll have it for you on NBC Sports Chicago. Plus, baseball night in Chicago starts the coverage at 6:30. Meanwhile, the Blackhawks aren't going to the playoffs, but tonight they can make sure the Blues don't either. Blackhawks and Blues with St. Louis desperately needing a win. That game is on this channel with pregame coverage starting at 7. It's busy around here. Sports Talk Live gets you ready for a big night, and it starts right now. Hey there, welcome. It is Sports Talk Live. I was on that camera. I thought I was. Presented by Chevy Silverado. Chuck Arfine here in today for David Kaplan, who's at the Masters. It's good to be Cap.
Tough life, right?
Good to be Tough Cap. Life. You know, I normally don't want to be Cap. I want to be Cap today. Let's meet the panel for today's show. We got a good one from 670 The Shore, Chris Emma, writer for Bleacher Report, and you can catch him on the Big Ten Unfiltered podcast, Seth Gruen, and join us to talk Cubs. Our Cubs resident baseball expert, David DeJesus. How are you, David?
I'm great. Great to be here.
Great to see what the Cubs did yesterday. They go 19 innings scoreless, and then boom, 8 runs against the Brewers.
I mean, it's a breath of fresh air what they did yesterday. It's one of those things where they looked overmatched against the Reds team, and especially against a young guy in Miami the other day. But coming back, being able to stick to actually have a plan at the plate. It looked like they put together a plan. All right, let me stay on this soft throwing lefty, stay inside the ball, work the ball, middle the other way, and they all did it. Everyone joined in. They were aggressive on the bases, and it was a great win. It was a team win.
How critical do you think that aggressiveness on the bases is to that kind of approach at the plate? Because they seem to go hand in hand last night.
It's huge, just because when you're staying inside the ball, you're confident. You're able to square the ball, move it around, and then that's something you can bring to the park every day is just hustle. That Javi Baez got things going. Albert Almora going first to third right before that. That's another key play. Just things like that. That starts giving them momentum, and then you just ride off that momentum.
What are the challenges of taking what you do in spring training and bringing it to that first week or first 2 weeks of the season? Because this is a team from which so much more was expected offensively, and you saw it last night, but obviously we didn't see it for those first few games.
You know, it's tough. In spring training, pitchers are working on their fastball, location, putting it around. They're not worried about results. Now, once the season comes in, they're going to start mixing that sliders, that curveball. Just they're a little sharper because the stats matter now. And as a hitter, in my opinion, I wanted to be late as possible. I want to get jammed because I don't want to be out in front, because it's harder to get jammed and then work to being on time than going out in front and work backwards. So that's what hitters are going through right now. And it's a tough process for the Cubs, but it's a start by yesterday's game.
And the other thing is that there's no really scouting reports in the minor leagues, in the Cactus League. They're just kind of working on their stuff. Now, how do we get Anthony Rizzo out? How do we take care of Javi Baez? Ian Happ, don't you see a difference once the regular season begins?
Exactly. And they face two or three guys that they haven't seen before as well.
Yeah, Rizzo was talking about that.
And the Cubs haven't historically been good against those guys. So it's just about the maturation of these guys. A lot of the Cubs players are young.
Yeah.
You know, they don't know how to really, all right, how do I focus on my game plan early in the season and not let that number on the board affect their at-bats each and every day.
What did you think about what John Lester did? Actually, I shouldn't say what John Lester did. What Ryan Braun did by stealing. Okay, you want to steal on him once, fine.
Exactly.
There's two outs, then you're going to third. You're going to try that?
I mean, that's not a good point, because Travis Shaw is a Cubs killer. This guy has been seeing the ball really well off of the Cubs pitchers. So one time, the first time, you got him.
Yeah.
You got him there. Let the next guy, you know, let him hit, and then because at that point you just gave momentum to the Cubs, and Lester was on.
All right, so here's our poll question, our Ankin Law Sports Talk Live poll question. Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. What was the most impressive part of John Lester's start, picking off Braun, knocking in a run, or 6 shutout innings?
It's a pickoff. He didn't do it for years. Are you kidding me? Not only a pickoff, but a bounce pass.
It's pickoff. Getting 1% right now.
Yeah. All right, boost that thing up, man. That was incredible. That was one where you go back and you watch it over and over again. He could not do that, and all of a sudden, bam, Braun dared him, and he did it.
So I found this today.
Come on.
The Milwaukee Sentinel, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, they said that there was a photo in the Brewers players' dining room of Braun taking a big lead off of Lester 2 years ago. This is in their clubhouse.
Really?
Yeah. I think there's something going on in the Brewers. They're like, they want to take advantage of Lester as much as they can.
Exactly, and now that's going to slow them down, getting picked off right there in a big situation for the team. That'll slow them down, and that'll slow other teams down as well. They know that he can step off, throw it to a base, even if it's a skip hop, as long as it gets there before the runner gets there, the Cubs are fine with that.
How much of that do you think is, you know, early in the season, maybe we can get in his head, maybe we could throw him off a little bit? I mean, we saw the Cubs, for example, throw off Bryce Harper when they walked him, what was it, like, nine times in that series. Yeah. Does that play in at all?
Yes, I think they wanted to get in John Lester's head. They wanted to just have a big inning right there, score early, because they knew that that lefty Suter, it might be a bad matchup for them. You know, he got hit shelled against his last start. So they're like, if we can get a couple runs early, that might, you know, the Cubs might be back on their heels at that point.
You're at 37%.
Man, that's all you. That's on you right there.
Try that thing up, man. I appreciate the significance of a John Lester
what is it going?
Bounce pass pickoff.
I mean, like,
it was a bounce pass.
You can't. That, I mean,
it was
six scoreless has got to be it.
I want that
but
in
we've
the
seen
80s.
Him do that before. I mean, that's
we've never seen him. Yeah, that's a good point.
You know what the impressive part is? He was 88, 89. That first start, John Lester's miles per hour, it was up to 91. So I think that second start, that third start, you'll start to see it trending in the 90, 91, lower 90s for a while now.
The Brewers have a big injury to deal with now. Corey Knebel, their closer. Oof. He's out at least 6 weeks with a hamstring injury. I mean, how big of a loss is this going to be for Milwaukee?
I mean, that's their guy. They relied on getting to Hader and Knebel. Mm-hmm. They wanted those to limit the game, especially since their starting staff isn't as good as most people think. So, you know, that's a big loss, and that's going to be four to six weeks. But that's going to be until the weather gets warmer out. You don't want him in cold weather pitching with that tight hamstring already. So they're going to be on the cautious side, and that's an all-star pitcher right there.
You know, I want to talk about hobby bias for a second, because I think it's really hard to stand out on a team in which, you know, Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant are going to get most of the ink. But to me, you know, every time I flip on a Cubs game, it seems like he's making a game-winning play, whether it's in the field, on the base paths, or at the plate. How much of an MVP candidate, and I kind of say it in quotes, in terms of this team, do you see him? You know, he might not win it playing on this team with those guys, but how important do you see him to their success?
He's an energy MVP. I don't think an MVP guy is going to be hitting out of the eighth slot right before the pitcher. But this guy brings it every day. If he gets on base, he's going to be getting on a base a lot more now if he swings, because you're going to walk him, go right to the pitcher of the game. So if he can take that extra base, be aggressive on the base paths, it's the guy that you have to game plan around.
Is he possibly an MVP-type candidate on a different team?
It depends if he can settle down that swing. This guy, you know, can he calm
Doesn't
it down,
walk a lot.
Shoot it the other way, trust his hands, because he has some of the quickest hands in the game.
He's the MVP of putting together highlights.
Exactly.
I mean, what he does on a weekly basis or even a daily basis, he'll have that one play like you mentioned where wow, there are no other players who consistently can do that.
Right, which is why I think it's substantive. I think it's easy to say he's all about flash and style, but he's making plays in the outfield from second base or when he's at shortstop that I'm not seeing other guys make.
Yeah, and he can play everywhere too.
Right.
You can put him in the outfield if you want to. I know he'll be okay. So he's a guy that can bring so much to the table, but he's going to be the second baseman for the future for the Cubs.
What are we going to see of Schwarber this year? I mean, what kind of growth will we see? Because it was an adventurous first week. Heck, it was an adventurous first game for the guy. I mean, do you expect to see him take those kind of strides in the outfield where he is, you know, a serviceable outfielder, replacement level?
Hold on. You just won the poll question.
Come on.
58%.
Bounce pass pickoff from John Lester.
1%.
1%.
You know what? What's the most impressive part of his start? Your decision to make him the winner.
Yeah.
Went from 1% to 58. Congratulations.
I'm Chris Semmel. I approve this message.
I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
Oh, but Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah, what kind of growth are we going to see from him, both at the plate and in the field?
At the plate, you can see it right now. He is not overswinging. He's not trying to use the right side of the field, and he trusts himself to go the other way. And this was his first offseason where he was doing baseball stuff, not rehabbing from that terrible knee injury. Yeah. So he's going to be fine offensively. Defensive-wise, I don't know how good you can get, but the way he can get better is taking live reps during batting practice. That's really all he can do, and doing the best he can. Play deep,
play him deep, make force him to come in on the ball all the time. That's one way to counter it. And just hope that he just catches the ball. Keep it in front of you and catch the ball.
Sounds simple enough, right?
That's it. David Hazes, thank you so much for your time. No Cubs and Brewers on our Plus channel with Kelly Krull.
Yes.
Today for David Kappen. We'll switch to the Southsiders next. White Sox fans brave the elements, hoping for a win in the home opener, only for the bullpen to, well, blow it. Ozzie Guillen is here to talk White Sox, and he wants to rip me for some reason. What else is new? That's next on STL.
Whether you're on the go or stuck at work late, don't miss a second of your Chicago Bulls. All NBC Sports Chicago games, including pre- and post-games, can be live-streamed on the NBC Sports app. Wherever you are, you're there.
All right, now is your chance to win an epic family vacation to Universal Orlando Resort, including airfare, accommodations, and admission to three theme parks. Plus, you can check out the new Fast and Furious Supercharged opening this spring. Enter now to win at NBCSportsChicago.com/Universal. All right, AJ, how's your arm? Throwing out the first pitch.
It's a little chillier, a little more chillier than I'm used to, Chuck, so... You know, I'm going to need you to give me a massage before I go out there.
This does not happen. I do not massage players. That's
inappropriate. What about ex-players?
Sure. Okay. Where is this going? Who's going to catch? All right. I never thought AJ Brzezinski, live on the air, wants me to massage him. That's got a little awkward there. Speaking of awkward, Ozzie Guillen is here.
No, I love it. Is you ready to talk first pitch? How you are? He never got good arm. I was watching the guy say, I hope he make it to the plate because it was hard to make it to second base.
It should have been Hawk throwing out to AJ though, right?
Well, it was
AJ's the catcher.
Maybe they want somebody to catch the first pitch ceremony because AJ was catching. Maybe the ball been dropping all the way back to the backstop. That's why you throw it, Hawk catch it.
You were watching our interview. You weren't pleased with my interview, I guess.
I think it was kind of like, how you doing? I'm here, kind of chilly. Well, you're in Chicago, and you play here for that many years. Of course it's cold here.
What should I have asked him?
I don't know. Why are you playing more golf now than when you was playing? When you was playing? His wife no longer there, I guess.
So what did you think about what happened last night with the White Sox? I mean, they had this big lead. And then the bullpen comes in. I mean, we don't know what this bullpen is going to be this season, but when you don't know what you're going to get out of your pen, how difficult is that as a manager?
Well, you know what? We're just talking, we're doing the game before that start. As I was saying there, you know, you're winning with good defense and good bullpen. I think the best friend for any manager is the bullpen and the defense. And look at what happened. When late in the game, you play a lousy, defense, then all of a sudden your pitching style got to give up some more runs, and wow, that break my heart. I'm a White Sox fan, and you know, obviously Infante wasn't the man when that happened. Infante, yeah. One of my boys from Venezuela. But games like this, opening ceremony, yeah. Everything going well, and you lose a game like that, you know, that play, this kid should be making for just double, second and third. We're okay, we're still alive. But when you're young, that will happen.
Yeah.
When you're young, that will happen. You have to, as a manager, know that, you know, what to try to do. They have to control themselves. They know what to do, what you was thinking in that position, in that particular time. But that broke your heart. Yes, broke my heart.
Yeah.
As a fan, but, you know, they got to come back. They're playing pretty good baseball. Hopefully that game stay behind them. It's over with. And start playing good again.
How do you go about building a bullpen as a manager? Because every player gets drafted, they want to start, right? They don't want to be a middle reliever. You're sent to the bullpen, it's a demotion. So how do you evaluate which guys are able to do that as they're coming up through your system?
Well, I think White Sox has been lucky. They have a bullpen coach. We have a pitching coach for a long time. You know the system very well. Now everybody come up out of high school, draft or trade. Everybody throw 95, 98. And now baseball, most of the manager now, they pitch 4 or 5 innings. I mean, I'd say everybody in baseball is a bullpen guy where you just start the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of hard because, you know, White Sox got good arms, very good arms. Those guys got to take a little while to get what they want to get. But no matter how good arms you have to throw strikes.
Ozzie, I'm fascinated by the prospects of what this team could be if a player like Moncada or Davidson or, you know, some of these young guys that they have, and then you add some of the, you know, the Kopics and the Jimenezes of the world. What can this team be when the season's all said and done? I mean, do you give them a chance at contending if, you know, everything falls into place? How do you view the season looking out for them, aside from the idea of just building that foundation?
Well, they build a foundation, but they have a few players there I like it and I would love it. You know what I mean? Engel is in center field. I don't think he's going to hit 700 and hit 40 home runs, but I think this kid is going to be pretty good center field. Defense, very important. I think the kid that's shortstop, the only thing missing right now to be a hell of a ball player is to play better defense. Moncada, I think Moncada, he's going to be fine. Obviously, everybody talking about Moncada, talking about offense. And, you know, just let him hit, let him play. To see, Abreu, one of the best hitters in the game. You know, you got a bunch of kids, just put it together, let him play. But meanwhile, this is the big league. This is a big league, and you want to do good in big league. Hopefully, those players don't get the hype and say, I got to play good or something's going to happen. Just make sure you got to play and see what happens in the future. 500, if they play 500 games, be awesome. But I think they're better than that because the division they're playing right now, that's not what the division was a few years ago.
Yeah.
What do you think about Moncada as a leadoff hitter?
That's the best one they have right now. Right now, I think Moncada has belief in himself. I think strikeout paddles is getting too long and too big. I think I don't want to say change. I never see him hit, only in TV. But I think he got to get better at bat for the big boys coming up because when Garcia and Abreu and the kid played third base,
Davidson
swing the bat away right now.
Or Yomer Sanchez, too.
Sanchez, when he's in the lineup, they swing the bat like that. While you on base, the production is going to be better. And I guarantee the manager will love that. But to make him change, he's going to be up here. Mm-hmm. He's not here. And hopefully he can do that fast enough.
Do you like leading off with power, especially in the American League? Guy with a little bit of power.
Well, now baseball changed. Baseball changed so much. I was talking with Glenville yesterday. You know, when those guys like Ricky Henderson are gone. Mm-hmm. You know, guy like Juan Pierre just get on base, steal second, try to, you know, now they try to put the best guy, the best at bat, the guys with the best on base percentage. When I was manager, the best guy I have on base percentage was Gene Tomy. I cannot lead if Gene Tomy. You know what I mean? But they get, right now they don't have a guy, it's a leadoff guy. I think the Cubs have that problem for the last couple of years, and that's the reason they go to the best guy in that moment.
Yeah.
Leadoff with power, you know, they got to do with the kid from New York Yankees, Judge, because he will see more pitches. Mm-hmm. They want to bat in second because Giancarlo's behind him. But I don't believe that. I truly believe you cannot steal first. I'd rather have a guy can get on base more than have power be a leadoff. That's what it should be.
Okay. Wish we had more time, but Ozzie, we're going to see you at 6:30 on Baseball Night in Chicago. You and Glanville's not here. You're on with David Jesus.
Yeah, they pinch hit. They cough pinch hit for now already.
All right. Good stuff. Biggest question surrounding the Blackhawks, meanwhile, has been answered. John McDonough says Joel Quenneville and Stan Bowman will be back. But will it be their last if the Hawks aren't playing playoff hockey next season? Mark Lazarus is going to join us next from the United Center on Sports Talk Live. Stick around.
So, you call yourself a Blackhawks fan? NBC Sports Chicago wants to hear from you. Visit NBCSportsChicago.com/BlackhawksAF and tell us what makes you the biggest Hawks fan. You could win the chance to be recognized as our Blackhawks authentic fan of the game, including tickets to a game, a behind-the-scenes tour, be shown on TV, and much more. NBCSportsChicago.com/BlackhawksAF.
Hawks fans, text lottery to be Hawks now for a chance to win two season tickets for the Blackhawks 2018-2019 regular season, courtesy of the Illinois Lottery. That is lottery to 242-957, and be sure to watch the drawing in the second period of tonight's game.
I believe in continuity. They've had an incredible body of success. We're not tethered to the past. I mean, this has been a very disappointing year, and our expectations are incredibly high. We're not going to deviate from those expectations, but I believe both Stan and Joel are the guys that are going to bring this back.
John McDonough saying that they're coming back. Q and Stan Bowman, your thoughts on the decision to have them stay at the helm here with the Blackhawks?
They got it right. I mean, look, Joel Quenneville is a Hall of Fame coach. He did not become a bad coach this season. Stan Bowman's done a great job rebuilding this team over and over, beating the salary cap.
and he had a bad offseason last offseason, turned into a bad season. I like the fact they get another chance to get this right. There's a lot of pressure on these guys now. I mean, Stan Bowman's got a lot of heat on him to get things figured out and make sure you come back not only a playoff team next year, but a Stanley Cup contender again. That's the standard this team has to live up to every year, and it's on Bowman to get it right, and it's on Quenneville to work with what Bowman needs to make this thing all match, to get those lines in order, to get the D pairing set. They have to come back a lot stronger next year.
Well, let's go out to the United Center. Mark Lazarus joins us. You've been following the story. Lazarus works for the Sun-Times. No surprise here. Your thoughts when the news came down?
You know, I'm not surprised. We've been speculating that for a while now. I think Corey Crawford's injury gave cover to everybody this year. When you lose your number one goaltender for 47 games, basically everything else doesn't matter. You deserve a reprieve. You deserve a chance to make this right. And, you know, I heard you guys talking about the offseason Stan had, and it was a bad one, but he course-corrected. He realized it quickly that this team looked old and slow early on, and he went about a youth movement. And Joel Quenneville's done a very good job of bringing these young kids along. You see the progress that Schmaltz has made, the progress that Hinostroza has made, and how quickly DeBrincat adapted to the NHL. He deserves some credit for that, and he deserves another year to see them along. A lot of things have to go right next year, and this is going to be hanging over them now. I mean, if they start 1-4 next year, remember how Joel Quenneville got this job in the first place. That's basically what happened to Dennis Savard. So this is going to become a thing now, but they do deserve another chance right now.
Can this roster, can this roster make the playoffs next season? But clearly this is not going to be the roster next season. What kind of changes do you see them making to make sure that they do get in the postseason next year?
You know, I agree with you that the roster shouldn't look like this next year, but it's probably going to look pretty similar to this. Up front, you got to like what they have. They're loaded up front. They're going to score some goals. The defense has been the suspect issue all season long, but they're all signed. Erik Gustafsson, Jan Rutta, they're all coming back. Maybe you can go out in free agency. The Hawks will have some cap space to make some moves. They have to go out and get another goalie, you know, not just because Corey Crawford, you know, you don't know what his status is, but clearly the backups that he's had this year have not been good enough. Forsberg wasn't good enough. Glass wasn't good enough. Berube hasn't been good enough. Scott Foster's the only one who has been good enough so far, and I don't think he's available. So basically you have to go out and get a real number 1B goalie, a guy who can come in and play significant stretches if need be, because everyone's optimistic and confident that Crawford will be back, but we just don't know that. And if he does get hurt again, and he's been hurt just about every year, you need someone that can step in and really seize the reins.
Quickly, 20 seconds left. Quenneville said our top players need to be our top players next season. Who's he talking about?
He's talking about Jonathan Toews. You see what Anze Kopitar did this year in L.A.? Jonathan Toews needs to do that this year. Kane needs to get back to that production he had with Panarin, even without him. Everyone needs to step up. Keith Seabrook, they all need to step up. They all need to be their old selves. We need to find a fountain of youth a little bit.
All right, now 10 seconds. Is this Sharp's last game in a Blackhawks uniform at the United Center?
I believe it's his second to last game of his career, yes. I don't think he wants to leave Chicago.
All right. Thank you very much, Mark Lazarus. That is a wrap for Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Have a great weekend. Bulls pregame live is next with Mark Kendall and Vincent Goodwill. We'll see you.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Remember to watch the show weekdays on CSN and visit csnchicago.com for previous episodes of the podcast and all the latest sports news and highlights.